1 Samuel chapter 3 today. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And Brother Darrell, I think I'm going to read this entire chapter because it's short. It's only 18 verses. So we're going to start with verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. In those days there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." The Lord said unto Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I began, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay down until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. Go, God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather here today. How important it is that we honor the Lord's day by coming together to worship you. So, Lord, open our hearts, Lord, that we might hear from your word. We ask for your anointing, your blessing to be upon your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Samuel really introduces the life and the ministry of Samuel. He comes between the time of the judges and the time of the kings. He is the last of the judges, and then he becomes also a prophet, and he becomes that prophet that anoints the first of the kings. So he's kind of a bridge between the time of the judges and the time of the kings. The people had said, we want to have a king, like all the other nations have a king. Really, it was a rejection of God as their king. They wanted a human king, a human leader, you know, like everybody else. So they rejected the true and the living God and king. And then they chose to be like everybody else, to have a king. So Samuel is born. Samuel is born because his mother Hannah, even though she is barren, not able to have children, she is so desperate. She is longing and desiring to have a child. The Bible says she was in bitterness of soul. Some of you no doubt have known someone, some person that was dealing with this problem of infertility, and it's like their whole personality changes. Their focus is only on that. They want to have a baby more than anything in their life. That was the condition that Hannah was in. She was so desperate for a child. She was so desperate that she cried, Lord, if you'll give me a child, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And Hannah kept her word. And you can imagine how difficult it would have been to bring your little child to the temple and leave him in the hands of Eli to raise him up in the temple. Most believe that Samuel was probably about 3 years old. Can you imagine a three-year-old being taken and left at the temple? This is what a three-year-old looks like. Can you imagine taking a three-year-old and leaving that child? But Hannah was committed to her word. She did what she promised that she would do. I'll give my son back to you, Lord. And the Lord answered her prayer. And Samuel was born. His name means God hears. His name was evidence that God heard and answered the prayer of his mother. And he was not only an answer to prayer for Hannah, but he was a gift of God to all of Israel. And God's hand was upon his life and used him in a mighty way. He was to be raised up in the temple to learn to be a man of God, to learn to follow God, to learn the ways of God. And that's exactly what he did. He served. Our text today says that he served Eli in the house of the Lord. And that's exactly what he did. Here's the kind of environment that this little child was brought up in. And with all the hopes, and it gives me great hope for all of our young people and our children that are growing up in such a dark time that we live in right now. I've even heard people say, well, I wouldn't even bring children into this world at such a dark time. But children are our hope. The young people are the hope. They are the church. They are the generation that we look to and we hope to. And Samuel represents that hope that we have in that generation. And he became this wonderful man of God that God mightily used and bridged the time between the time of the judges and the time of the kings. The Bible says here's the kind of situation that he was living in. It says that the word of the Lord was precious. It means it was scarce. There weren't prophets who were prophesying. There was no open vision, it says. It just means there was no word from God. There was no open vision, no communication with God. Thank God that we today have his word and we have the blessing of his Holy Spirit that in a dark time such as we live in right now, that we can hear the voice of the Lord and can hear from God. But it was a dark time. Eli's sons were, the Bible calls them the sons of Belial, or really just the sons of the devil. The word Belial means worthless. And that's exactly what they were. They were so greedy that when the sacrifices were brought in by Israel to be offered to the Lord, they would take advantage of those people. They would take the best of the meat of the animal for themselves and give back. There was a large portion of the meat that was supposed to be given back to the person that was bringing his sacrifice, but they would just give them back just the meat that was of very little value at all, and they would save it all for themselves. They were thieves. They were selfish. They were so greedy and self-centered that they took advantage of people. And I'm going through this just to remind you that Samuel, this young boy, is growing up in this kind of a environment. He's growing up under these sons of Eli. The Bible says that this is all in the previous chapter, chapter 2, that they even committed fornication with women that came to the door of the temple. They were taking advantage of women who came to the door and committing fornication with them. These were some really wicked men. They were so vile and so wicked. And the Lord pronounced judgment upon those sons and upon Eli, and spoke to Eli and said, you have known what's going on, and you've not done anything about it. You have known the sins of your son, and you refused to restrain them. You know, it's important to remember that the Bible talks about a parent's responsibility to discipline and train their children. And if you neglect to do that, actually the Bible says that we should do it. The word in the Old Testament is betimes. It means while they're young, in the early part of their life, if you wait till they're older. And the Bible says there in chapter 2 that Eli heard how all this wickedness that they were doing. He's probably 90 years old now, and he goes and he rebukes them for what they're doing, but it's too late. It's too late. They've already committed it, and there's no evidence that his rebuke did anything. The restraint and the discipline and showing them the consequences of their behavior should have been when they were young. And when you discipline them when they're very young, then they grow up understanding that if you do wrong, you face the consequences. If children are not disciplined when they're young, then they become a discipline problem in every area of their life. They go to school and it's a problem. They get a job and it's a problem. They won't be restrained even by the law and the authorities. They just will not do that because they don't learn the importance of consequences for your wrongdoing. Amen. Eli said, so this is the kind of environment that Samuel is placed in. But God had mercy upon him. God worked in his life. God spoke to Samuel as just a young boy. Now, in chapter 3, he's probably now about 12 years old now. When these events took place in the life of Samuel in chapter 3. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. It was scarce. There was no open vision, or there were few prophets, very few people. Obviously, they didn't have the scriptures like we have today, and so they relied upon men of God and prophets of God to speak to them and to direct them. And Eli was failing in his role as priest. There were no prophets, or hardly any prophets, so there was no open vision, no understanding. It came to pass when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim. Now, most of the things that are going on here, There is the actual thing that's happening, but there's also the spiritual implication of what's going on. His eyes are waxing dim. He's losing his vision. He's losing his ability. You say, well, he's old. Yeah, he is. He's probably in his 90s now. He's old, but God's moved a lot of time, especially in the Old Testament. God moved many times. Moses, the Bible says, was 120 years old when he died. And his eyes were not dim, and neither was his strength abated. He died with good vision and a strong physical body at 120 years. I'm just simply saying that Eli was failing, and that what was happening to him physically was mirrored in his life as far as his spiritual condition is concerned. And all these events here in this text really have a natural lesson and a spiritual implication as well. Verse 3, it says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." Now that's a serious thing, because the law of God, both in Exodus and in Leviticus, stated that this was a statute in the law of God, that the lamps, the light in the temple, was to never go out. It was to burn from the time the sun went down until the sun came up. That was in the law of God. Let me read it to you. Leviticus 24, verse 2. "Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening until the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generation." And so the light is going out. Or it says, ere it went out, at best it's flickering. It's about to go out. It's almost out. Let me tell you, light is really important. And spiritually speaking, light is so necessary. It's so important that you and I, as the church of the living God, that we be the light of the world. It's so necessary that the light be on at the church. That's kind of an irony, since the lights are out in the parking lot. But Eli had failed. It was his responsibility, and to keep the light on in the house of the Lord. It was his responsibility. And the lights were either out or they were going out in the temple of the Lord. You see, there's a lot of darkness out there in this world. We're facing it around even in our own community here. Darkness is trying to, you know, get further and further and swallow up all the light. If the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are not the light shining bright in this generation, then we're going to be overwhelmed by the darkness. We're going to be taken over by the darkness. It's so essential that we be light, that we be what God has called us to be. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," and then he delegated the responsibility to the church and said, "You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill, it cannot be hid." We are responsible to be light in this world. So we don't curse the darkness. We just get brighter. We just need to light up brighter in the house of the Lord and among the people of God. When you see things getting worse and worse around us, I think we need to take a close look at ourselves as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that darkness is getting worse and worse and worse because the church is failing and the lamp of God is going out. We got to turn the lamp up. We got to be what God's called us to be, a light in this world. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Amen. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Amen. I don't like it because things, you know, people are doing things and things seem to be moving in a direction that's upsetting to me as far as the world is concerned. If we're not careful, we're going to get used to it. It's going to become a new norm to us when we see all the wickedness that becomes so prevalent around us. It ought to grieve us, it ought to stir us, and it ought to motivate us toward a personal revival and a church revival and a move of God so that the fire of God is burning bright in the house of God. Amen. Amen. The darkness really is just the absence of light. That's all it is. When light is gone, then there's darkness. But when the light is turned on, then there's a brightness. Amen. We're called to be the light of the world. The light illuminates. The light exposes. The light reveals. That's why some folks don't want to go to church. That's why some folks don't want to hang around with Christian people, because they feel uncomfortable. And that's okay. They should feel uncomfortable. We talked about conviction Wednesday night. The world should be convicted when they get around people who are walking with God, walking with the Lord in obedience to the Lord. Ephesians 5 and 13 says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." It's the light. It's the light that reveals the darkness. It's the light that causes people to feel reproved or convicted of their sins. The light in the church, the working of the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit is what causes God to deal with the hearts of people who are in darkness. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Some good mother said, nothing good happens after midnight. And there's a lot of truth to that. Late at night and after dark, that's when all the things start happening. That's when people, that's what people that are up to no good, they do a lot of sleeping in the day, and then they come alive at night. And they're out through the night and doing their evil deeds under the cover of darkness. It's truth. It's the truth. It really is. Nothing good happens after midnight. And there's no good that happens in the dark. But if we can turn up the light, if we can turn up the light in this community, if we can be a people of God who see the importance of being the light of the world, our lifestyle, our testimony, everything about us, that we are living for Jesus and we're not ashamed of that, but we are living for the Lord. But there was darkness in the house of God. Eli had neglected his calling, his responsibility, his family, and the lamp of God was going out. Something had happened to Eli. His senses were dulled. His vision was dimmed. And he was the priest that should have been able to know God. He was to walk with God and to hear the voice of the Lord. But now, when God is speaking right under his own roof, he does not hear the voice of the Lord or recognize what's going on. God is speaking to young Samuel. Samuel gets up, goes to Eli. Eli, no doubt, is thinking, go back to bed. The second time, again, go back to bed. But the third time, it must have been that Eli began to remember how it was. We don't know how long ago it was, but probably in his younger years as the priest in Israel, he probably knew a time that he communicated with God. He probably knew a time that he fellowshipped with God. Probably knew a time when he heard the voice of the Lord and was used of God to direct Israel and all his priestly duties. It likely has been a long time, so long that God is speaking under his own roof and he has to speak to a young child, Samuel, probably 12 years old. This time, though, on the third time, he says to him, go back to your bed. I think what's happening is God is speaking to you. So the next time you hear your name called, just say, speak, Lord. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm paying attention to your voice. I'm listening. Amen. Young people, I want you to know, you don't have to depend on the older folks to hear the voice of God. Children and young people can hear the voice of the Lord. You can hear from the Lord. How do you do that? Well, you need to get in the Word of God. You hear me, young people? You can read. You can get in the Word of God. You can read the Bible. You can be filled with the Spirit. Amen. You can serve in the house of God when the opportunity comes to do something for God. Actually, that's what Samuel is doing. He's probably just a doorkeeper. He's probably just doing menial tasks around the temple. It says somewhere in that text there that he opened the house of God after when the sun came up that next morning. He went and he opened up the doors of the temple. That was probably one of his jobs. But he was just serving. In humility, he was just doing his job. You want to hear from God? You just do what the Lord gives you an opportunity to do. And do it in humility. Do it as a servant. Do it in obedience to the Lord. And let the Lord use you. And then stay sensitive to the voice of God, because God can talk to young people. I remember as a kid growing up in church, there were times, I mean, I was just like most young people. I was distracted. I was interested in, you know, everything going on around me, sports and everything else. But I remember the numbers of times throughout the years of my growing up years in the house of God and being exposed to the things of God. I can remember times when God dealt with me. I remember times when it was the voice of the Lord. God was talking to me. He was speaking to me. And it wasn't all the time, but there were times when I didn't even realize what was going on then. But now, when I look back on that experience, I know exactly what was going on. I know it was the voice of the Lord. It was God speaking to me. Get familiar with the voice of God. Get familiar with the voice of God. You can do that by reading the word of the Lord and listening. Be sensitive to the voice of the Lord and hear his voice. That's what Samuel did. He didn't even, it says in the text here that he never had any communication with the Lord. Verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. He didn't know what was going on. He wasn't familiar with God's voice. But if you'll be sensitive to the voice of the Lord, God will talk to you. God will speak to you. God will direct your steps. He'll give you wisdom. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you when you have decisions ahead of you, how to make them and the right way to go if you'll be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. Amen. Oh, it's so important that the light stay on in the house of God. So important that the lamp not go out in the house of the Lord. This next generation, it's so necessary for them to know that there is a light, there is a fire, there is a zeal, there is a spirit of revival in the church, and that God can speak to his people. Amen. How does God speak to us? A lot of ways. God speaks to us in a lot of ways. Let me just go through a few of these. God speaks to us sometimes through people. Through people. Now, if someone comes up to you and says, I got a word from the Lord for you, it's okay. Listen to that word. But make sure it's a confirmation, because God can talk to you just as much as he can talk to anyone else. And so make sure that it is confirmed. If anything, let that be something that motivates you to ask the Lord, Lord, is this really from you? Is this really from you? And confirm it by the word of the Lord. Amen. If someone tells you God said this about you and it can't be confirmed by the word of the Lord, then don't waste your time on that. But God can use people. God can use people. There's been many times, I say many, quite a few times, that there have been people that the Lord has used to speak into my life, to talk to me, and to help me, to give me some instruction, to give me some wisdom, and to know what to do. I've had folks speak to me I've told this before, but I went to youth camp, and this was the time that I got poison ivy so bad that I was miserable. I couldn't involve in most of the activities there. I had to stand to the side and stand by a tree and scratch my back on the tree bark. I was miserable. But there was a brother there, and I don't even know who he is, or I don't remember him, but I remember him coming over to me at this youth camp, talking to me. And he took time to talk to me. He knew I was going through a rough situation. And he took time to talk to me and to encourage me. And I was just a kid, 13, probably 12, 13 years old. I don't remember how old I was, but I was young. I didn't have all that much interest in the things of the Spirit of God, but he spoke to me. He spoke to me about ministry. He spoke to me about the future. He talked to me about dedicating myself to God as a young person. He spoke into my life, and that was a word from the Lord. God can use people to talk to us. Amen. The Lord can use dreams and visions. It doesn't mean every dream or every vision is necessarily from the Lord. Amen. It might be a pizza dream, might be a Taco Bell dream. But God can talk to you through dreams. He did it all through Scripture. In the Middle East, you heard me mention this before, in the Middle East there are dozens and dozens of confirmed instances of Muslims who have no access to the Bible or to the gospel, in the Lord Jesus appearing to them in dreams and speaking to them. Let me tell you, the Lord can talk through dreams, spiritual dreams, dreams that will motivate you to serve Him. He can talk to you through circumstances in your life. You can learn lessons through trials, and sometimes, I know this is controversial sometimes with people, but even through sickness, illness, struggles that you go through, God can communicate with you. He can talk to you. Sometimes we have to get flat on our back and stop and be still so we can hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's through circumstances. Now this one will probably really be controversial, because it's so rare. And that is, God can speak to whoever He wants to, even in an audible voice. I've never had that experience. I don't know if any of you have. I've never had that experience, but Samuel had the experience, didn't he? And so did Abraham, so did Moses, so did Joshua, so did Elijah, so did others of the prophets. In the New Testament, so did Peter and James and John and Paul. And throughout the Scripture, it was a man by the name of Ananias there in the book of Acts, that he heard the voice of the Lord letting him know that there was going to be a man by the name of Saul that was going to come to his house. The Lord can speak, and even speak in an audible voice if He so chooses. And there are reports of that down through the years in church history of God speaking to different ones. I would say that it's probably very, very rare that that happens. But God can do whatever He wants to do. He can do what He wants to do. Amen. The primary way that He speaks to us is through His Word. But He can also speak to us by His Spirit inwardly. We can hear His voice. And it's important to hear His voice, but you have to distinguish His voice from all the other voices that are trying to crowd Him out. So you have to be still. That's why Elijah learned the lesson. It wasn't going to be in an earthquake. It wasn't going to be in the wind. It wasn't going to be in the fire. It was just going to be a still, small voice. You have to get still to hear the still, small voice and pay attention. And we're not often too willing to do that. We're too busy doing all the things that we've got to do. But if you get still before the Lord, you can hear the voice of the Lord. A couple of years ago when I was sick, I was in the bed a lot. And I can remember times when I was so sick in the night, and I just felt like God was just with me, talking to me, speaking to me, encouraging me. there with me in his presence. Thank God for that. When I review and look back on that experience, I don't remember feeling so crummy. I just remember the Lord's presence being with me. The Lord being there with me. Praise God. He can talk to you in that inner voice. Amen. And we need to hear the voice of the Lord. He can talk to you if you'll be still and you'll pay attention to the Lord. He can speak to your heart. Amen. Just like he did to young Samuel. John chapter 10, it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before him, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his voice. I read about someone who witnessed this in, I think it was in Palestine, Israel, that several shepherds were together, and their flocks were all together, and one shepherd decides to leave, and he steps out and starts going in a particular direction, and he calls for his sheep. And only the ones that were his raised their heads. All the rest of the sheep didn't even look up. But the ones that belonged to that particular shepherd, their heads rose up, and they moved out of the multitude of the sheep and begin to follow that one shepherd, because we know the voice of the shepherd. Amen. Amen. You want to hear the voice of God? Get in tune with the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. When my wife calls me on the phone, and it's not just because it's caller ID, but if she calls me on the phone, I don't have to say, who is this? Amen. Actually, most of you, if I hear your voice on the phone, most of you, I'm familiar enough with your voice. I know who you are. Amen. And to be honest, if I don't know the number, I usually don't even answer it, because I don't want to know their voice. I don't want to hear from them. Amen. But you can hear the voice of the Lord by the Holy Spirit speaking to you, to the inward man. And then, of course, the most important and the primary way that we hear the voice of the Lord is through the Word of God. Amen. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You know his voice. You know the Word of the Lord. There's so many important spiritual lessons in this text, in this story. But the Bible says that he heard the Word of the Lord. The Lord spoke to him. Can you imagine? This is a 12-year-old boy, likely, a young boy, who hears this word of the Lord that says, I'm getting ready to bring judgment on the house of Eli. And this is what's going to happen to them all. All of their ears are going to tingle when they hear what God is doing. This is going to be a terrible and a horrible thing that's going to happen. He tells this young kid, can you imagine? I'm pretty sure Samuel didn't sleep anymore that night. His eyes were probably wide open thinking, oh no, what am I going to do when Eli asks me? And Eli does exactly that. And he tells him and doesn't hold back at all. This shows the prophet that's coming out in him, the man of God that he's going to become, that he doesn't hold anything back. The Bible says that when Samuel spoke, none of his words fell to the ground. I mean, they were that powerful. They weren't neglected. They were not able to avoid what he said. Whenever he spoke, it was powerful. It was powerful, and so was it true to Eli. So much so that Eli said, this is a word of the God. This is the Lord. This is what's going to happen. This is the word of the Lord. All this happens because you hear God's voice and you're listening. The light hasn't gone out in the house of the Lord. The light hasn't gone out in your own fellowship and your walk with the Lord. Oh, how desperately we need to be a bright light. Amen. We need to be a bright light in this community. I've seen some of the things happening in our community. It's disturbing to me. And it makes me want to just kind of yell at people and say, why are we doing this? Why are we moving this direction? But I know that's a waste of time. I know the most powerful thing I can do and you can do, and the church across this community can do is be a bright light. Be a bright light. Amen. In this community. Lord, help us to be that. Let's stand together. Father, Lord, I know that you've called us in this generation. Just as Samuel, Lord, was so young. He was a new generation stepping on the scene. And oh, what an awesome responsibility he had. Oh, what a calling that he had. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us to see the urgency of the hour, to see that we must be light in such a dark world. We see it everywhere, Lord. Everywhere around us, there's such darkness. It's so overwhelming, Lord, the darkness of this age that we live in. And we know, Lord, that you've called us to be a light for this day, in these last days. Stir us, Lord. Help us to commit ourselves to you and to your word and to prayer. Help us, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit afresh, Lord, so that we can be the light you've called us to be. The need is so great, Lord. Help us to respond, Lord, to the need of this hour and be a bright light. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I guess the overall lesson of this text is that it can get really bad. The society, the culture can get really bad, but not so bad that God won't speak to us. Not so bad, but God can't work in that particular time and season. We spend too much time looking at all the wickedness and the evil of this world and this generation when we should be looking to the Lord and listening to His voice, asking the Lord, Lord, we need to know what to do. We need to respond in obedience to your voice. Praise God. Hallelujah.